Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And as I always say, it's always a pleasure to do our Christmas shows. And no better way to start today's show than a little letter written by a little lady in the New York area that we've enjoyed for over 120 years. A little girl named Virginia O'Hanlon. Well, she was writing the New York Sun and inquiring about Santa Claus. And this is a story written by Francis P. Church entitled, Yes, Virginia, There is a Santa Claus. Virginia O'Hanlon writes, Dear Editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say that there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? And the editor from the New York Sun responds on September 21st, 1897, Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus? It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if they did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that's no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. No Santa Claus? Thank God, Virginia, he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor man can see. From the New York Sun, September 21st, 1897, 122 years ago, and we're still enjoying it. Yes, Virginia. There is a Santa Claus. And let's listen to some Christmas music. One of the great songs, one of the great Christmas songs written by Mel Torme, sung by Frank Sinatra. The Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe can help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
They know that Santa's on his way with toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Frank Sinatra, the Christmas song. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. A Christmas Carol in prose being a ghost story of Christmas. I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly and no one wish to lay it. Their faithful friend and servant, written in December of 1843, Charles Dickens. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I am going to relate. And something wonderful is happening every year again at the Goodman Theater. More than 1.5 million people have experienced Goodman Theater's family favorite, A Christmas Carol, one of Chicago's treasured Christmas traditions, now returning for the 42nd year through December 29th. Under Artistic Associate Henry Wishcamper's direction for the 7th year, the annual production remains the greatest seasonal story of all and features Chicago actor Larry Yando in his 12th appearance, who leads the cast as the irascible businessman Ebenezer Scrooge. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning artistic associate of the Goodman Theater, having directed plays nationwide at such venues at the Manhattan Theater Club, Atlantic Theater Company, the Old Globe, Williamstown Theater Festival, and the Portland Stage Company, founder of Portland's Shakespeare in the Parks Festival, Drama League directing fellow, and a proud graduate of Yale University, now directing The 42nd annual production of the Charles Dickens holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearmore, and through December 29th. Our good friend Henry, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin. It's great to be back.
It's always delightful to chat with you, and here we are 176 years later, and we're still enjoying Charles Dickens' little novella.
It's an amazing story. It's one that, you know, I think that one of the things that amazes me about this story is people's desire to engage with it each and every year as part of their seasonal celebration. It's really remarkable.
Well, I have the pleasure and the honor, of course, to chat with you about it, who is so immersed in it, has been for 7 years, and has done just a wonderful job. Bring joy and excitement to those people who have returned to this story, as I have over 30 years, and for some people who are coming for the first time this year.
It's one of the things that I love about our production. I would say about a third of our audience comes every year and has been for many years, and about a third of our audience has never been to the theater before. And to have both of those kinds of audiences in the same space experiencing the same story in a production that is really, you know, quite spectacular in its scale and its scope is a really exciting thing.
And to have that gratification from your end and from the performer's end, Henry, that see the audience and how it affects them and the change that they go through, just like the change that Scrooge goes through, without leaving that that auditorium with a tear in your eye, I defy anybody to do that.
Yeah, you know, I do think it is a show that has an immense impact on people, and I think that there's something about the end of the year and the changing over of the calendar and living through sort of the darkest period of the year where we are inclined to sort of want renewal and to examine our actions and to make resolutions for how we want to behave differently in the future. And so I do think that that experience that Scrooge has of looking and examining and questioning his behavior and trying to make change and to be a better, more fully realized person is something that we all are experiencing at this point in the year.
As many times as I've seen it, Henry, as many times, and every year I reread it, and I reread O'Hearn's annotated version, and I still pick out things that I didn't, either maybe I've forgotten or I didn't pick up the last time I read it. And I think that's what makes this so fresh every time you look at it. And one thing it brought up this year when I was looking at it, when you look at the beginning of A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge's nephew Fred comes in and tries to invite him over for Christmas, and what Fred says to Ebenezer, and it's reflective because I think of any of the characters in A Christmas Carol, Fred most likely resembles or is much like Charles Dickens was. And Fred says, "Christmas time is a pleasant, kind, forgiving, charitable time. The only time I know of when men and women seem by one consent to open their hearts up freely and to think of each other as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not just another race of creatures bound up on other journeys." Kind of reflects the philosophy of hope and of redemption in A Christmas Carol.
Absolutely. And I have that same experience, Kevin, of finding new resonances and new meanings every year. And, you know, for me, what that passage has really, you know, I think one of the things that's really remarkable about the story is its celebration of fellowship, and that of all of Scrooge's sins, one that is quite frequently returned to is his desire to be alone and to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something really quite remarkable about that idea of this being the one time of year where we really recognize, as Fred says, that we're fellow passengers to the grave, that we're in this together, even if we aren't necessarily going anywhere.
You have a great responsibility, and that's, of course, to, as you do this year from year, how do you change it? How do you tweak it? How do you make it different from one year to the next so there's something new to see or something new that people look forward to?
That's part of the great joy of doing it every year. I think a lot of times with shows like this, they tend not to change. And with the Goodman, there has always been a real commitment to reexamining the story every year, to making changes to the production. And I think for a lot of our longtime audience members for whom it's part of their tradition, part of the joy is seeing what has changed and talking about what's different and whether it has improved the experience for them or not. We certainly hear both on a regular basis, but it's one of the really fun things about being in an ongoing dialogue with the audience. You know, people will come up and they will talk about how Fred was played 5 years ago, or how Christmas Present was played 15 years ago, or what she wore, you know, at one point. And I love that people hold on to that, that they carry it, that they're really looking forward to engaging with it. And I do think, you know, I mean, first of all, I think that the story changes for me as I move through my life. I also think that the resonance of the play changes as the world changes. And, you know, I will say that the way that this play feels this year is quite different than the way it felt last year, which is quite different than the way it felt, you know, a couple of years ago. And so it's great to be able to adjust how we're playing the show. You know, this year, one of the things that we've really changed is a lot of the music, both the live music that is played by a four-person band and the incredibly beautiful pre-recorded music, all of which is composed by Andrew Hansen. He's rewritten a lot of it, and I think that really changes the emotional feeling of the play, and also, you know, just really captures the joyful celebration of the production.
And speaking of music, to your point, let's read a little excerpt, an essay written about the play. It is, should be said that this is a scary show in the deepest sense of that word, but also a joyous one. On the one hand, it deals with selfishness, greed, the emotional scars that can come with poverty, and the fears of mortality. On the other hand, it is all about the power of love, the rewards of generosity of spirit as much as of the purse, and redemption. It is full of ghosts, some benign, some terrifying, and it is full of family life in all its guises. It is also full of music. And it's always enjoyable, the music. And that's why I say I can't leave the musical or the play at the end after everyone sings "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." I'm crying at the end, Henry, so you're doing something right.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I think that all of those, you know, I do think it is a scary story. It's a ghost story. It is a story about both the impact of both our positive actions and our negative actions. And quite a bit of it is quite dark. And I love the fact that we don't shy away from that with this production. It is, as you say, both a very joyful and an often scary production, as it is a story. And I think that, you know, it's rare that you get to combine joy and terror in the same experience, and to place them next to each other and to let them impact one another. I think that, you know, that the experience of sitting in the audience is actually quite a physical experience, in the way that it impacts you emotionally, in the way that it impacts you musically, in terms of the spectacle. It's very much, an engaging and a visceral experience.
Now, this is your seventh time directing it.
Seventh time,
right? Now, when you look back at the first time, you go, oh, geez, I could have done it so much better.
It's a really big show, and it took me, you know, I will say it took me a couple of years to feel like I fully understood what it was and what I was trying to do to it and with it, and what I was hoping to say with it. So it has been really nice to have several shots at it, and you know, I do think that by this point the show feels quite tight and unified in a way that, you know, I don't know that I feel like looking back. Maybe the first pancake was a different thing.
Now, this is Larry's 12th time. Does that mean he's the longest run? He's more than Bill Norris, the longest running Scrooge?
I think he's coming up on it. I think Bill still may be
the
longest.
Oh, is he?
I think he still may be, but I'm not entirely sure. Okay. But, you know, I will say that I think Larry's performance as Scrooge is one of the great performances
I've seen
in my lifetime.
No doubt.
He's truly amazing. The breadth of his emotional experience, the depth of it, the way he brings the language to life, his humor, it really is an incredible performance, and it's been great to be able to work with him over the 7 years and to shape what I'm doing to what he was already doing. It's truly a remarkable performance.
You know, I know you can't speak for him, but certainly being a director, having worked with so many great actors and actresses, does a actor or actress, do they enjoy repeating a role like this?
I think that both he and the many cast members who have done it on multiple occasions will say that they do. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a little bit of adjustment in terms of how they think about the process, because it is quite different from the bulk of the theatrical productions that most actors do, where you only do it once. But I think that there's a lot of joy in being able to play the same scene with multiple scene partners over the years, and to see how the meaning of a scene changes as you play it off of somebody with a different voice and a different body and a different way of thinking and different rhythms. I also, one of the things that is really fun about this show is we do student performances. Right. There are performances where, there are huge numbers of families. There are performances that are much more, much more adult performances. And so there's a real sense of night by night, how the audience responds to the play changes quite a lot. And so I think that sense of the audience as an ever-changing scene partner is really fun for the performers who have been doing the show for many years.
And you have so many people who have changed different roles in the play, and they play different roles, and they adapt to each one. And you say, I remember when he was playing that role last year. Now he's playing this one.
I love that. That's definitely something that I try to think about as I cast the show is, what if we move this person over and let them play a different role? I think it's really fun to sort of see, and we've had a lot of actors over the years, really get their first professional, job at the Christmas Carol and then grow into roles with greater and greater responsibility and greater and greater opportunity. And that's been really fun to watch, younger actors in particular, blossom as they move through different roles in the show.
And even different genders, and especially when you have the specially challenged, kids that are part of the performance. What a wonderful thing that is, Henry.
I love that too. I think it is, I think these characters, each character is so beautifully written, and each character is saying something so specific in terms of what Dickens is trying to say about what it means to be a person, what it means to be a member of society, what it means to be in relation to, family and friends and colleagues. And, so to be able to put really different people into those roles, whether that's the gender differences or physical abilities or race or age or, is really interesting in terms of how it resonates the individual characters and also the relationships.
A great quote by, and I didn't realize this until I was doing some research, William Makepeace Thackeray, who was kind of a competitor of Dickens during the time of him writing The Christmas Carol in the 1840s and so forth. He wrote Vanity Fair, of course, and he was always kind of competing with Dickens for the affections of the reading public. After he read A Christmas Carol, his response was, "It is a national benefit, and to every man and woman who reads it, a personal kindness." Kind of surprising coming from Thackeray.
That's amazing. I've never heard that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And so it's affected everybody, the good guys and the bad guys. You know, always a pleasure to chat with you. Henry, Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. And may that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, and please join me, Henry, God bless us.
God bless us.
Everyone.
Everyone.
More than 1.5 million people have experienced the Goodman Theater's family favorite, A Christmas Carol, one of Chicago's treasured Christmas traditions, now returning for the 42nd year under artistic associate Henry Wishcapter's direction for the 7th year. The annual production remains the greatest seasonal story of all time and features Chicago actor Larry Yando for the 12th time, who leads the cast as the irascible businessman Ebenezer Scrooge. And on the line with us right now is our dear friend Henry Wishcamper. Henry, I'm going to give a phone number if people would like to get some tickets, 312-443-3800. I don't know if there's any left, but they certainly can try. And, again, thank you for bringing the joy of Christmas to all of us down at the Goodman, and certainly all the great work that the people in the family of the Goodman Theater do.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Merry Christmas to you and your family, and the best for the season.
Same to you. Take care.
Thank you, Henry.
Bye.
Henry Wishcamper, the artistic associate of the Goodman Theater. Always enjoyable chatting with Henry and having an engaging conversation about A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' great work, which we're enjoying here 170-some years later. You know, it was funny because the way he wrote it, the way we enjoy it, we figure, well, he must really enjoy putting this together. Well, he really kind of had to, because he was in kind of some financial and economic circumstances after having written Martin Chuzzlewit, which was not a big hit. He had great success with Pickwick Papers and Nicholas Nickleby and so forth, and he was probably the talk of the town, but got to the point where he needed to write this because he was living beyond his means. But, of course, after this, he'll be forever remembered, and we're very fortunate to be able to enjoy this at the Goodman Theater because they do just such a wonderful job. It's always, as I said before, enjoyable chatting with Henry about this. So if you have the opportunity, A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' holiday classic at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearborn, through December 29th. For information, 312-443-3800. Let's go back to Frank, a little mistletoe and holly, and we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Tasty pheasants, Christmas presents, countryside's covered with snow. Oh, by gosh, by jingle, it's time for carols and Kris Kringle. Overeating, merry greeting from relatives you don't know. Then comes that big night, giving the tree the trim. You'll hear voices by starlight, singing a Yuletide hymn. Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Fancy ties and granny's pies and folks stealing a kiss or two as they whisper Merry Christmas to you.
You'll hear voices by starlight, singing a Yuletide hymn.
Oh, by God. gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Fancy ties and granny's pies and folks stealing a kiss or two as they whisper Merry Christmas to you.
And we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. It is Christmas Eve in Nuremberg, Germany, and Dr. Stahlbaum is giving a party for his children, Clara and Fritz. Godpapa Drosselmeyer arrives bringing presents and amuses the children with mechanical dolls. To Clara, he gives a nutcracker in the shape of a toy soldier. The spiteful Fritz breaks it, but Drosselmeyer mends it at once. The party goes on, grown-ups and children enjoying themselves, until Clara falls asleep clutching her present and dreams. And magically, she dreams of the battle with the Mouse King, her nutcracker as he turns into a handsome young prince, the Snow Queen, the sugar plum fairy in the land of the sweets, and the classic music of Tchaikovsky, and has been described in a commentary he wrote on the nutcracker. It is through Drosselmeyer's magic and love that this never-ending dream of Christmas transports Clara and enables each of us to revisit the land of innocence, our childhood. Salt Creek Ballet's The Nutcracker, under the direction of artistic director Sergei Kozadayev, makes its debut at the Mackinac Arts Center at 2 and 7 on Saturday, December 14th, and 1 and 5 on Sunday, December 15th. New Philharmonic under the baton of Maestro Kirk Muspratt will perform Tchaikovsky's classic Nutcracker score live for this full-scale, lavish production. As a special treat, there will be a photo opportunity with Santa 1 hour prior to each matinee performance and a 3-foot-tall wooden nutcracker in the lobby. And on the line with us right now is our good friend Sergei Kozadayev. Sergei, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, thank you, and hello, everybody.
Well, we're looking forward to enjoying the Nutcracker, of course, at the Mackinac Arts Center. Isn't this fun for you, who grew up and came from Russia, and also danced in the Nutcracker, to be able to perform and put it on out at the Mackinac Arts Center?
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward for this. It's going to be a great event. From any side, it's going to be great. Sort of all orchestra, magic music of Tchaikovsky. We have great scenery and set, and great guest dancers. It's going to be a fun show.
Everyone is looking forward to celebrating Christmas, and to have the great music of Tchaikovsky really puts everyone in the Christmas spirit, does it not, Sergei?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's because of Tchaikovsky, of course, genius of Tchaikovsky, make all this happen.
Now, Tchaikovsky's three great ballets, of course, was The Sleeping Beauty, Swan Lake, and The Nutcracker. And there's a similarity in the music between all of them. You've performed all of them, and you must be very proud being a Russian, doing Russian music like Tchaikovsky's.
Yes, I grew up with this music. I'm a dancer in the past. But my parents, my family, everybody was musicians, and I grew up with music from my bed. As soon as I used to be born, I grew up with the music, and of course with music Tchaikovsky as well.
Now, do you ever, as you're directing this and seeing all the young people and the dancers out there, do you ever get the feeling, I wish I was doing this again?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. But my train is gone. You know, because when you are after 40 years old, it's problematic to dance again and be in great shape. It's this art for the youngsters. It's unfortunately. But I'm missing badly. I'm missing badly stage and excitement.
Well, what about playing Drosselmeyer? You could still do that, could you?
Yes, I could. But I could, but better to give away for new generation of dancers than Yeah, my train is gone, as is answered. I'm more valuable in the studio doing corrections and choreographing and polish and whatever.
And it must be a great thrill for you to be able to bring this to young people, for them not only to dance, but for the audience to appreciate your talents as you pass them on to another generation.
Yes, this is valuable for both, and for young dancers, and for young audience who see it first time, and for dancers who's doing the special role in first time in their life. That's why it's also, this is timeless. I hope it's timeless.
You know, it will be, and we'll have a full orchestra, and that will be this coming Saturday, December 14th at 2 and 7, and Sunday, December 15th at 1 and 5. And for tickets and information, they can call 630-942-4000. And, Sergey, thank you very much for taking a little time and chatting, and we're looking forward ourselves. I'm going to bring my family to see the Nutcracker this weekend.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. You will not sorry about this.
And God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, Sergey.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank
you, my friend. Sergey Kozadayev, who's the artistic director of the Salt Creek Ballet, and, of course, presenting Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker out at the Mackinac Art Center, which is a great venue out at the College of DuPage. And again, for tickets, the phone number is 630-942-4000. It's a terrific venue. And this is the first performance of Salt Creek out there, so it should be a lot of fun, and they should very much enjoy it. And I'm going to little addendum to our conversation with Sergey. Evidently, you can leave the Nutcracker, but the Nutcracker may never leave you. The ballet's rhythms and a host of associated memories don't disappear. They just get filed away in the part of the brain and released in flashbacks filled with sometimes early memories and emotions. And, of course, there's the whole Christmas thing. The Nutcracker serves up an idealized Christmas on a platter full of treats that everyone has been promised at one time or other, by our parents or by books and movies and TV specials. Christmas can be a joyful and problematical holiday for nearly everyone. It's not religious enough for some. It's too religious for others. It's lonely for those without family, and it's too full of relatives for those who have had enough of being known by a childhood nickname. There's pressure to spend money, to commune, to be festive, and the holidays can become a time of heightened expectations and recurring disappointments. The Nutcracker, however, is simpler. Like Christmas, it always comes around in December. But no one expects quite so much from a ballet, so its gifts can be discovered in a more relaxed manner. But more importantly, it provides for all of us a small oasis of beauty, inspiration, and togetherness for the Christmas season. So if you have the opportunity, and certainly a way to introduce the young ones to the ballet or classical music, and they'll enjoy it, read the story so that they know what the story is about, so they can enjoy what's going on the stage. And the Salt Creek Ballet and Sergey Kozadayev does such a good job putting it on and staging it with the music of the New Philharmonic and Kirk Muspratt. Enjoy the Nutcracker at the Mackinac Art Center. Enjoy the classical music of one of the great composers, Tchaikovsky. Another one of our favorites from Frank Sinatra, The Christmas Waltz. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way. He's filled his sleigh with things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine, in three-quarter time, wishes you and yours the same thing too. Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine, in three-quarter time, wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Thank you, Frank, and we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Well, you know, on the news shows where they always say, breaking news. Well, we have some breaking news right now. One of the founder of the one of Chicago's favorite cupcake destinations, Swirl's Cupcakes, located at 705 West Belden in the heart of Lincoln Park, is now celebrating Christmas and New Year's. It wouldn't be our show around Christmas time without our good pal, Pam Rose. Pam, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin. How are you?
Now, what do we have? Gingerbread, eggnog, chocolate, peppermint cheesecake, gluten-free, vegan gluten-free. Geez, we have such a selection here.
You do. Lots and lots of stuff this year.
What's anything new?
Yes, absolutely. This year we did, you know, Kevin, as the years go on, people always get tired, a little bit tired of, like, the certain, you know, like, the same colors of, like, the red and the greens.
Yeah.
So this year we went with a lighter palette, and we did, like, a sugar plum fairy theme.
Oh, I liked it.
Light pink and Granny Smith apple green.
Ooh.
And they're darling. And Kevin, one of our, everybody in the store voted, like, their old-time favorite cookie, and it was the Maurice Linnell pinwheel.
Oh, yeah, sure,
so
yeah.
Created it, and we did what we call a sugar plum fairy pinwheel cookie, and we actually make a homemade pinwheel cookie in pink and green and white
that's on the
top of a cupcake, and it's adorable.
Isn't that great? That is. Yes. Do they still have Maurice Linnell?
You know, they sold out, and then I don't know if the cookies are being made anymore. I think they stopped making them, I haven't seen them in a long time, but we're all missing them, so we brought it back.
Well, if you miss them, all you have to do is call 773-404-2253, and you can revisit the past with Swirls for the holidays. What else you got? What else you have out there?
Then we've got a holiday funfetti that we kind of did in the same color palette, and that's a vanilla cake with all little white chocolate pieces and pink and green on the inside, filled with a cream cheese buttercream, and then we top it with our vanilla buttercream, and it's all these darling little custom sprinkles that we get from Canada that are adorable from this sprinkle queen. This girl is like the sprinkle queen, and they're adorable with greens and pinks and all different shapes, and they're just cute. This year we went with something very sugar plum fairy-like, so it's a little more whimsical this year.
In honor of the Nutcracker, Tchaikovsky, that's wonderful.
Yep.
Now, what about, you can get this little cupcakes, or you can get full-size cupcakes, or you can get cakes, right?
Cupcakes. Yep, mini cupcakes, full-size cupcakes. We do almost every flavor that we do for the holiday stuff we'll do in gluten-free, and we also do a vegan gluten-free version of several. And even the vegans, I asked them out there what flavor they wanted, and everyone wanted chocolate orange this year. So we're doing, like, reminiscent, you know, of the little chocolate orange that you break open.
Sure.
It's like all the vegans voted and wanted that, so we did a chocolate orange where it's dipped in vegan chocolate, and you can break it. It's got kind of the mouthfeel of that chocolate orange.
we're a little nostalgic
this year with our flavors.
I used to kid you with the gluten-free, but, you know, that's a big thing right now. And I have my own family, the kids are better off with the gluten-free products. And now that if you've accommodated everybody, there's no reason not for them to enjoy.
That's the truth.
And they can get them at Whole Foods?
We sell a vegan line, our vegan and gluten-free line at Whole Foods.
Okay. And if people would like cupcakes, DoorDash?
We're on ChowNow, Uber Eats, Postmates, and then DoorDash and Grubhub carry us as, even though we're not signed with them on a contractual basis, they now have their drivers with credit cards, so anybody can request it and still get a swirls from those two as well. So you can get delivery from any of those. Plus, we have all our own delivery drivers, too.
And so. Uber too? Didn't I read something about Uber?
Yes, Uber Eats. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, there's no reason why people, the entire city of Chicago, can't order Swirls Cupcakes.
Exactly. The logistics don't matter anymore.
That's right. You made it very easy. Or they can come down to 705 West Belden, right by DePaul there in the Lincoln Park area, and enjoy some right in the shop there.
Absolutely. We love to see everybody down here. And today I went from one event to I stopped in the store and I'm headed to the Looking Glass Theater. And we are their partner this year with the Steadfast Tin Soldier. And today is one of their family days. And if people come to see their show on family days, they get free Swirls Cupcakes.
Well, which is another thing I want to bring up before we say goodbye, is the fact that you have done so much helping other people in a philanthropic way. Whenever any institutions or groups need some help, Pam Rose is always there, always willing to help out for schools and hospitals and all different groups of people. And we thank you for that. God bless you for that, because that's what makes Christmas
so much,
the way it is. It really is wonderful.
It's nice to run your business in a way that you can give back.
And especially around Christmas time. One more time, phone number, website, and location, and you'll be driving around and you'll stop if you have any left and you'll give people on the street some of those.
Absolutely. I get stopped everywhere. Yes, so we are 773-404-2253. And if you follow us on Instagram, we're at Swirls Cupcakes, SWIRLZ Cupcakes. And we have a great Instagram page. And also we are at 705 West Belden, BELDEN Avenue, right down the street from the DePaul Music Center. And just a little bit, or we're a little bit west of the Lincoln Park Zoo. So we're very easy to find.
God bless you to you and your family, my dear. Merry Christmas. And, you know, you got three hoodlums that live in Burridge that really love Swirls Cupcakes.
I know. Those guys. I told you, I can meet you in the parking lot.
Yeah, I know. Their mother will love that, but fill them up with sugar.
But I know.
Merry Christmas, my dear.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you, to all of you, Kevin. Thank you again.
Thanks, Pam.
Okay, bye.
Pam Rose, the founder and owner of Swirls Cupcakes. They're the greatest cupcake. They really are. You can't miss them. And all the different Christmas flavors and so forth that she has. If you're in and around the area, around DePaul, 705 West Belden, or you can call 773-404-2253. Or, as she said, there's so many other ways to get them delivered. Take advantage of that. Little ones, especially for Christmas. You know, you put them around the table and so forth. People have a couple and so forth. And if you don't want to eat a large one, eat, you know, four or five or six or seven or eight little ones. You don't feel as bad. But it's a lot of fun. Pam's been a good friend for a long time, and she certainly has just a wonderful product. So Merry Christmas to her, and Merry Christmas to you when you have some Swirls Cupcakes. This is one of my favorite Christmas stories, and I hope I could get through it without choking up a little bit, but just a very tender one. It's entitled Coincidence. I think not. I was driving home from a meeting this evening about 5, stuck in traffic on Colorado Boulevard, and the car started to choke and splutter and die. I barely managed to coast into a gas station, glad only that I would not be blocking traffic and would have a somewhat warm spot to wait for the tow truck. It wouldn't even turn over. Before I could make the call, I saw a woman walking out of the Quickie Mart building, and it looked like she slipped on some ice and fell into a gas pump. So I got out to see if she was okay. When I got there, it looked more like she had been overcome by sobs than that she had fallen. She was a young woman who looked really haggard with dark circles under her eyes. She dropped something as I helped her up, and I picked it up to give it to her. It was a nickel. At that moment, everything came into focus for me. The crying woman, the ancient Suburban crammed full of stuff with three kids in the back, one in a car seat, and the gas pump reading $4.95. I asked her if she was okay and if she needed help, and she just kept saying, "I don't want my kids to see me crying." So we stood on the other side of the pump from her car. She said she was driving to California and that things were very hard for her right now. So I asked, "And you were praying?" That made her back away from me a little, but I assured her I was not a crazy person and said, "He heard you and he sent me." I took out my card and swiped it through the card reader on the pump so she could fill her car up completely. And while it was fueling, I walked next door to the McDonald's and bought two big bags of food, some gift certificates for more, and a big cup of coffee. She gave the food to the kids in the car, who attacked it like wolves, and we stood by the pump eating fries and talking a little. She told me her name and that she lived in Kansas City. Her boyfriend left 2 months ago, and she had not been able to make ends meet. She knew she wouldn't have money to pay rent January 1st, and finally, in desperation, had finally called her parents, with whom she had not spoken about 5 years. They lived in California and said she could come live with them and try to get on her feet there. So, she packed up everything she owned in the car. She told the kids they were going to California for Christmas, but not that they were going to live there. I gave her my gloves, a little hug, and said a quick prayer with her for safety on the road. As I was walking over to my car, she said, "So, are you like an angel or something?" This definitely made me cry. I said, "My dear, at this time of year, angels are really busy. So sometimes God uses regular people." It was so incredible to be part of someone else's miracle. And, of course, you guessed it. When I got in my car, it started right away and got me home with no problem. I'll put it in the shop tomorrow to check, but I suspect the mechanic won't find anything wrong with it. Sometimes, just sometimes, the angels fly close enough to you that you can hear the flutter of their wings. What a tender story, huh? And very appropriate for Christmas. So maybe for all of us, that random act of kindness, something we all should consider.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, a merry little Christmas now.
Here we are as in olden days,
if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bar.
Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Henry Wishkamper, the director of the 42nd annual production of the Charles Dickens holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearborn, through December 29th. For information, 312-443-3800. Sergei Kozadayev, the artistic director of the Salt Creek Ballet, presenting Tchaikovsky's classic The Nutcracker at the Mackinich Arts Center, College of DuPage, Saturday, December 14th, 2 and 7, Sunday, December 15th, 1 and 5, for tickets 630-942-4000. And, of course, our good friend Pam Rose, Swirl's Cupcakes, located at 705 West Belden in the heart of Lincoln Park, or you can have them delivered anywhere. She's a terrific lady. For information, 773-404-CAKE, which is 2253. Finally, a few final thoughts about the holiday. The holiday season, a time of loving, a time of giving. The first gift, that of his only son, was the beginning of the tradition of love known today as Christmas. And so, during this season, when traditions are followed and love is in the hearts of all, I want to share these humble gifts with you. I wish you the gift of kindness. Kindness in your words so as to create self-confidence within your spirit and soul. Kindness in your thinking so as to create a profound new attitude by which with to live each new day. And kindness in your giving so as to enhance the abundant love you give throughout the year. I wish you the gift of magic. Magic to fill each candle, star, and light on your tree with the special feeling of love that only Christmas brings. And magic to last all year long and remind you of your many blessings. It would be a wonderful tradition to keep that magical kindness of Christmas in our hearts each day throughout the year. And so, the tradition of gift-giving reaches far beyond just the joy of buying and receiving. And it's our hope that your Christmas spirit and love will be recognized in the sparkle of your eye and the grin on your face throughout this entire season as you remember that first gift, his only son. From the Kevin Moore Show and from me personally, may the peace and joy of the season be yours today and the crisp and tradition of love be yours to share throughout the coming year. Thank you and God bless you and those you love. And Merry Christmas.
As it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music, the music.